Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're talking about a company called Mercor, who just raised $350 million, which brings their current valuation up to $10 billion. So you may have never heard of them before. We're going to talk about the big money being thrown at this company and why specifically it is an important piece of the data puzzle for AI. So before we get into that, Jayden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Yeah, every single week we record a bonus piece of content. We post it on school and you can get access to it. We have over 300 members. It's an amazing community. Everyone comments on each other's businesses. And the purpose of it is to help you grow and scale your business or career using AI tools. This week, we recorded an entire tutorial where I break down some exciting new updates, features, and strategies to use Lovable. If you've ever used it before, we've talked about it a lot on the show. And with a bunch of new features and some cool stuff I figured out, I recorded a tutorial explaining how to use Lovable to create full-on products, websites with logins, with payment processing, with AI tools embedded, with databases. So like you can actually have users sign up. It's not just making pretty UI, which is what I've used Lovable for in the past. I think I'm on the $300 a month Lovable tier. I would venture to say I'm a Lovable expert. It is a company that I love. It is very lovable, obviously, but check it out. We have a really cool tutorial if you have ever wanted to build a tool, app, or product, SaaS, online, but you're not a developer. This, I think, is probably the moment and that it's actually finally possible. I've got a tutorial on the school community, so there's a link in the description if you want to join and check that out. All right, let's get into what Mercor is doing. This is a fascinating company. There's a lot of things I'm excited about. I mean, obviously, a $10 billion valuation is incredible. Raising $350 million is really amazing in their Series C. But the thing that I think is even more interesting than all of that is the fact that what Mercor is doing today is not what they set out to do originally. And they still are like, yeah, maybe some point in the future, we're going to do our original vision. But they've completely pivoted. And I just think it's fascinating when you see companies pivot and still are able to raise $350 million. Pretty cool. So basically what they're doing is they're connecting AI labs. So like OpenAI, Meta, Google, all of the big AI companies with domain experts for training their foundational models, which means, for example, Meta might go to them and say like, hey, look, we want our model to be a lot better at doing math or like programming, or, you know, some specific niche. Can you find us like people that can help train our data for that specific use case? The ones that I think they cover a lot are scientists, doctors, and lawyers specifically, which obviously are high value areas, right? Like if you can really fine tune a model to be really good at what scientists, doctors, and lawyers do, that's worth a lot of money, right? Scientists can be making pharmaceutical drugs, doctors can be helping patients, and lawyers are working on legal cases where they can be vampires and suck money out of society. Just kidding. Don't tell anyone I said that. My grandpa actually had a big law firm growing up. So, well, not growing up, but when he was, that was his career. So, you know, I can't hate too hard on it. One thing that I will say is this data is really tricky to get otherwise. It's really hard to get your hands on. Like you can imagine one use case could be like a pharmacist, right? Like maybe the way the pharmacist looks at all of the data for drugs to come in or pharmacist receipts. The AI model has no clue because there's no centralized database, especially when it's like medical stuff or legal stuff where it's like confidential. It's not publicly available on the internet usually. And so the AI model has a really hard time training on it. So an example would be Mercor could go to like a bunch of pharmacists and say, hey, we're going to give you all of these receipts, these pharmacist receipts or recipes, or I'm not a pharmacist, so it's a hard time for me explaining in depth what they do, which is a great example, again, of why an AI model would also struggle with that. And they would say, we want you to annotate these receipts, like take this, you know, these PDFs of receipts, highlight what each of the chemicals are, where you can find them, what they mean, what all of the short form and code words on this mean, and like write it all down, annotate it. Send it back to our AI model, then the AI model is going to scan it and it will be able to train off of it. You need these domain experts. And this is in 1,000 different industries, the same thing. You have the person that, you know, might be working on, a really complex part of a machine that helps mines dig. He knows like the ins and outs of that machine, but not a lot of people do. And it's pretty hard to find the documentation online for some of that stuff. And so anyways, you get these domain experts, you have them annotate the data, and you sell it back to the big AI companies who want this rare data, basically. And that's what Mercor does. And that is how they have raised $350 million, which I think is quite impressive.
That's crazy. So to simplify it, basically you have a company like Scale AI, who's more broad in labeling data like that is a yellow banana or that is a pineapple. But this is more specific to some of those fields that are a little bit more complex, like, you know, pharmacy, law, all that stuff. So you're having experts in that field train the AI. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So Merkur goes a lot more specific, a lot more in depth, and they've been able to raise a lot of money. It's actually impressive. In September, they were talking to a bunch of investors about raising at an $8 billion valuation. They ended up raising a $10 billion valuation. It just shows like how important this is for the industry, but also like a lot of people want to get in on this because it's making a lot of money. But what's interesting to me that I mentioned at the beginning is that this is not what Merkur started out as. This wasn't like their vision. It's just kind of what they stumbled into. They actually started out as an AI-driven hiring platform. So, you know, you can imagine like Upwork or like, you know, why can't I think of any other hiring platform? LinkedIn Jobs. Okay, there's a real generic one. But a hiring platform that just used AI to like help match people. It wasn't really getting product market fit. They hadn't built it out fully. And then somehow they realized that these people that they were like onboarding onto their platform could I help with AI models, and it's just kind of what they stumbled into. So they actually pivoted to providing this kind of specialized domain expertise for AI training. I think this is just a really good like a lesson for basically any company. No matter what you set out to do, sometimes, very often, these companies will find that like there might not be as big of a demand for what they want, the problem that they want to solve, as they thought, and a pivot is necessary. And you can make a ton of money. So, and it's almost like they wouldn't have found this job, this like data labeling industry, if they hadn't have already kind of been working in the industry that they were in and talking to the people they were talking to. So anyways, it's an interesting thing to me that you can start out, raise obviously a ton of money. I mean, they're on their Series C already. Their previous $100 million Series B, they raised at a $2 billion valuation. So now they went from $2 billion to $10 billion with this huge pivot, and like, obviously, they kind of struck a gold mine and saw big demand. But anyways, it's a cool story to me of like a successful pivot that made the company a lot of money. And even if they're not doing what they originally set out to do, they're obviously crushing it.
Yeah, totally. Well, I have a question for you. Do you think there's, because I remember back when we started this podcast, you know, over 2 years ago, we talked about one of a potential side hustle being getting paid to train AI models with data. You know, do you think there's still any room for that at this point? I mean, it sounds like some of those specialty fields, but like, what if you're really good at underwater basket weaving? You're like the best in the world at it. Do you think there's an opportunity or will be in the future to help train AI data, or not so much at this point?
No, I 100% think that there's like so many untapped data sources, right? Like basically the AI models, people are like, oh, they plateaued. They like, you know, they're not getting that much smarter than like, you know, ChatGPT-5 wasn't that much smarter than GPT-4o, right? Like you hear that kind of sentiment a lot. I think it's because we've kind of hit a max on like the mass amount of publicly available data that's very easy to access. But there's so much like hidden data that just needs to be mined. So I think about it like mining, and that's what Merkur is doing. They're like mining this data. It doesn't exist because half the time it's like regulated. It's illegal for, you know, them to publish like patient documents for medical stuff, obviously. There's like HIPAA compliance and all that kind of stuff. So you have to like mine it. So sometimes that's synthetic, but also a lot of times you need like an expert in that industry to go and create that data set. I think that there's a lot of places where this still exists and that you can go find it and make it. And yeah, if you have a really unique skill set of something that you know how to do better than anyone else, especially if you try to ask ChatGPT to help you with it and it does a bad job. Like, it's kind of interesting to me anytime someone's like, oh yeah, I tried to get ChatGPT to do XYZ and like, it wasn't very good. And like, to me, I wouldn't say like, oh, cool. I would say, oh, well, that's a great opportunity. Like, where could you build a data set for that? And then who could you sell it to? There's data set marketplaces, I think, which are interesting. You could have companies that are training it at scale like Merkur's doing. But I definitely think this is a big industry that we'll probably see more and more of in the future.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's, you know, a side hustle marketplace where I could sell my all my different side hustle skills to to make money on the side. I don't know. It's an interesting concept, you know.
Yeah, I haven't dug into that too much, but I do think it's interesting. It could be definitely could be something crazy. The other thing that's crazy, yeah, that I want to bring up is the fact that Merkur right now, they're on track to hit $500 million in annual recurring revenue. That's faster than AnySphere did it, which is Cursor, which hit that about a year. So like, this is one of the fastest growing companies. Now, the thing is, I kind of like, I don't want to say I hate this, but like the thing that I think is there's so much money here. Okay. So there's so much money here. But the thing that it like irks me about this is Scale AI did the exact same thing. And everyone touted Scale AI as like the greatest thing since sliced bread. But they only have a handful of customers. And so when you only have like three or four customers, like micro, or let's say five customers, Microsoft, OpenAI, Google, maybe NVIDIA, and like maybe Anthropic, right? Like five big companies that are buying all of your annotated custom data for their big LLMs. And they're spending insane amounts of money. Like that's how they're getting $500 million in annual recurring revenue or whatever. It's not like there's basically, if one of those customers pulls out, your whole company can get pretty wrecked, which is what happened to Scale AI when Meta invested billions of dollars into Scale AI and took their CEO. All of a sudden, OpenAI and I believe Google both said like, okay, we're not going to use Scale AI anymore because like Meta's getting involved in owning it and now they're our competitor and blah, 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 blah. And then like Scale AI like lost a lot of customers and money and stuff. So anyways, it's amazing that they have $500 million in annual recurring revenue, but they don't have an insane amount of like customers, and if any of those pull out for any reason, then they are losing quite a lot of that percentage of money. So yeah, I think that's important to bring up.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, who comes out on top. I didn't really realize that about Scale AI, that they had lost business because of the whole, but yeah, crazy. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode,
oh wait, Jamie, I got one more tidbit that I have to throw in here, and then let's wrap this up. And that is that they are currently paying $1.5 million per day to their contractors to annotate this data. They have more than 30,000 experts, and they're earning over $85 an hour on average. So you actually, if you are an expert in an area, maybe that's a good side hustle to bring up, is you can actually go and work for Merkur and help them annotate data in your specific field for $85 an hour. I feel like that's pretty good. But again, they're working with like doctors and lawyers and stuff. So those people are already used to billing out a lot of hours, but maybe if they have extra hours, there's some extra side hustle money to be made doing that. Anyways, Jamie, you can wrap us up now.
Well, hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. And if you would leave us a rating or review wherever you're listening, we would really appreciate that as well. It gives us good feedback in order to make this podcast better. So, and be sure to check out our school community if you are interested in taking your AI skills to the next level, learning how to actually make money online using AI and build your business as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
And if you're still listening, even after we wrapped up the show, here's a bonus Easter egg for you, which is that if you leave us a rating or review, sometimes we read them live on the air. And I wanted to read one and give a shout out to the person that left it, which is Johnny Reviews Everything. I believe he's got a YouTube channel. You can go check it out. He said, hey, it's Johnny from Johnny Reviews Everything. Just wanted to say how much I appreciate what you guys are doing with AI Hustle. As someone deep in the influencer and content strategy space and borderline obsessed with AI, I've listened to a lot of creator-focused podcasts, and this one actually delivers. So anyways, he has a whole thing. He joined the school community. He's awesome. If you want to go check out Johnny Reviews Everything, wanted to give him a shout out. If you have a cool project, leave it in a comment in a review on Apple or Spotify. And we might read it live on the air. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next time.